when I schedule. I try to leave some times open for call times. And to give you a little bit of an idea of what my schedule looks like, if you would call me and you'd want to talk during, I call day hours, you'd have to wait till April. But not everybody can wait that long if they call. So what I've started doing is I've started, especially now in the winter months here, I'm counseling full time. So what I started doing is I schedule my phone calls, because I don't have open days. I schedule my phone calls for 6 o'clock in the morning. So I can do that if you're willing to call me then. My family's still sleeping then. And that's why I do it then. Because I want to spend the evening hours, I want to spend with them. There's been a few times where I've taken calls or I do calls after they're in bed. But if I do that too much and too much at 6 o'clock in the morning, then I come to an end too. The next section I'm going to look at is immorality in the occult. Immorality and the occult are connected. And I hardly know how to, where to go with this and how to do justice to it. Because the occult is a huge issue. But I'm going to say that the occult, as is immorality, is a huge or a wide open door for the enemy to walk in and to create a lot of havoc in your life and in your home. If we, as dads, open the door to the enemy in any way, it's like, as leaders in the home, we are like an umbrella that protects the home. And if we open the door to the enemy, it's like there's holes in the umbrella. That when the enemy fires darts at us or at our home, if we as leaders have holes in the umbrella, the darts go straight through. And guess who gets it then? It creates havoc with a wife, direct access to the children. There's a situation where this comes into a little bit into generational stuff that we look at. There's a man that told me that his family, actually his son's family, was being harassed by demons at night. And he said when he started looking into it and discovered that when he was a little boy, his mother took him somewhere to something, not sure exactly what happened. But he said, I renounced that stuff. And he said it made a difference in my son's home. This stuff does affect. So I'm going to say, make a statement here, and it says, we must deal with the spiritual darkness in our lives. Lust can't be broken until these tormenting and tempting influences that come directly from the pits of hell are broken. I'm not one to look for a demon in every corner, and behind every tree and every rock. But I do address them when meeting up with them. And this stuff is very real. I want to tell you that. That if my desk starts moving around in my office, the chairs are hitting the wall, I start getting concerned about my furniture and that I don't get pinned between the wall and the desk when you're dealing with demonic issues. I'm telling you, this stuff is real. This stuff doesn't just happen in third world countries. And I'm talking about this stuff happening with Christian people. I don't know if I'm accurate on this, but I'm beginning to believe that I think in our North American countries, let me back up a little bit. In third world countries, I think the enemy has when he shows up and people roll around on the floor and foam at the mouth and do all kinds of stuff like that. Everybody's scared. Nobody knows what to do with it. And the enemy can create havoc. But if those things happen here, I think we'd all know what it is. Part of the problem is we don't know what to do with it. So people run scared too. But for the most part, I think the enemy is hiding among our people. And when you address this stuff, when you hit it head on, you find some pretty vicious reactions. So when you, after this weekend, whenever you happen to think of me, I'm going to ask you to pray. Because this stuff is real. It doesn't happen every day in session, but there are days when it gets pretty rough. And I do have my cell phone with me in session, and there are times when I will send out messages to certain individuals to pray. We're heading into enemy territory. Pray now and pray hard. Because that stuff can sometimes go on for hours. It's sometimes difficult to break. But I'm going to tell you that the things that I've seen happen and the changes I've seen in people's lives gives me a courage and a, I'm not sure what to say. But to see what the power that we have in Jesus Christ. And when things like that happen, to just hit it head on directly, and the worse it gets, the more I'm convinced that we're going to get through this, and I will not quit until we're done, even if it goes into the night. I think the longest session I've ever had started at 1:30 in the afternoon and went till 8:15 in the night. But I wasn't going to quit. Now, that wasn't just occult stuff, but that was, we weren't at a point where we could stop. That doesn't happen every day either. Since our society is becoming more and more immoral, and the issue of Satanism and the occult is becoming more and more prevalent, they're also becoming more and more intertwined. And don't think that this stuff just happens out in California or who knows where. There is stuff like this happening right in our communities. I want you to be aware of that. One thing I want to look at is sexual spirits in the bedroom. Some of this might be new to you, but there is a spirit that is called incubus and a spirit that is called succubus. Incubus is a male demon. Succubus is a female demon. And they are part of a sexual relationship. And sometimes people are actually involved in sexual relationships with the demons. And I do meet up with that. Sexual spirits can connect through wrong music, wrong movies, wrong books, involvement in the occult and Satanism, pornography and immoral activity, rejection pain and feeling lonely, rebellion, sexual abuse from someone in the occult or Satanism, or rape by someone in the occult or Satanism. Twilight series, it's the next one I want to look at. That is books and movies that are very readily available to pick up. The whole motive behind Twilight series, they were produced for teenage girls. They are produced in a romance and form, and a romantic relationship with vampires. And I want to explain vampires a little bit. Vampires are Satanists that sold themselves to the devil by their blood. They drink human blood. They're not the hippies. They're not the tough-looking people. But most of them are clean-cut, suit-and-tie type of people. We tend to think this stuff is, and I think part of the reason we look this, think this way is because we have this picture of the devil, of this evil-looking creature with a pitchfork. He's not going to show up that way in your life. I was sitting in a waiting room one day and I picked up a book. And I was looking at something, forget exactly what I was looking at, but it was something of it that interested me. And when I got into the, turned the page, I was done with the article that I was reading. I was just ready to close the book and I happened to see an article. And the word that jumped out at me was the word vampires. And it actually listed a number of people that some people put in the celebrity category that was listed in that list. I'm getting ahead of myself. Next one is sexually abused by someone in the occult. When someone is sexually abused by someone that is involved in occult practices, the demonic spirit has access to the abused and they will control. A person is not able to get free from the abuse until that demon is renounced. The demon may resist you or go after the person you are working with. And I'm going to share an example of that, of what happened in my office. I was working with a couple where she had been sexually abused by several different individuals. And she had been with someone else, and they had come for premarital counseling, and so I was working on that end of it. And this is an area where what I look for. And she had gone to someone else, and she said she was free from all the abuses, all except one. As she described what was going on, I asked her the question. I said, "Do you have any idea if this abuser was involved in occult practices?" And she said, "Yes." So I wrote out a prayer and I asked her I'd like for you to go through this prayer and renounce the demon or the demonic influence that's connected to this person that was your abuser." And what I did is I just took the paper and I kind of slid it across the desk. And she sat there and stared at me. Well, I like to give people a bit of time, so I didn't say anything right away. And then I just said again, I said, "I'm just asking you to pray through that prayer." All she did was stare at me. So I asked her this question. I said, "Can't you talk?" And she shook her head no. She just went like this. So I said, "Can you write? I'd like to know what's going on." So I pushed a paper across the desk and I gave her a pen. She picked up the pen and she made one straight line and everything stopped. I said, "You can't write either, can you?" And she shook her head no. We worked for quite some time. It took us about an hour till we got her talking again. The first thing she whispered was the name Jesus, and it was just a whisper, and from then on she could talk. And when she was talking again, she said, "If only I could have told you what's going on, we could have got to it a lot quicker. But I couldn't.